Father, thank you that you made the times and seasons in nature, and you've given us, this is a picture that there are times and seasons in our own life. We read in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to do this, a time to do that. And Lord, we want to be, Lord, in step with your season for our life. We want, Lord, to step into this new season. We don't want to be looking back in regret or looking back in longing, in a sense, for anything of the old season. Lord, we want the new season for our lives and for our work together here at New Life. Lord, we're asking today you clarify for us, Lord, this new season in our lives. Amen. Recently, I was driving from, Barbara and I were driving from North Wales to Stansted Airport. It was a long way. I had a very old map. And as we were driving, I'd estimated the amount of time it would take us to get there. And as we were driving along, we realized motorways had grown up, toll roads had appeared. Things had changed quite a lot since my old map. And it was clear we were not going to make it in time for this airplane. As we were driving along there, getting nearer and nearer and nearer, getting faster and faster and faster, and watching the speed cameras very carefully, keeping ourselves just the right speed. As we were going along, we arrived there, and as we arrived at the airport, parked the car, we were check-in closed 40 minutes before the plane was due to take off, and by the time we got to check-in, we were 10 minutes late for check-in closed 10 minutes before. When we arrived there, fortunately, as a result of God's mercy, our prayers, our cries of desperation to God, our prayers of supplication to God, that fortunately, the plane had been a teensy-weensy bit delayed, just enough to allow us to run, grab a seat and jump on, thankfully, and we were able to make it. But one thing I realized, I made a mental note, I must buy a new map, as I was panicking to get on this flight. And we need, without an accurate map, then we're kind of not sure about things. And in our lives, God wants our lives to kind of be heading in the right direction, and not to be kind of put off or miss the path. God has a very specific direction for us as individuals and for us together as a church. If we're going to reach that destination, we need an up-to-date map. Today is making sure your map is up to date. Today is all about making sure the map that God's given you for your life, the work that God's called you to, is up to date. To make sure you're going to make it in time and you'll get to check in before it closes. The direction we head in our lives is very, very important. And I want us to turn, if you've got your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets. They're kind of, not that they were kind of short chaps, but just that they were kind of, they said less than some of their major ones. And it's sort of towards the end of the Old Testament, just before Zephaniah, you've got all these great minor prophets that it's quite hard to pronounce. He's after Nahum, Micah. After that, those lots, you get this guy, Habakkuk. And we're going to read there. About over a year ago, I was in a meeting of church leaders here in North London, and there was an 80-year-old prophet who was there from America, a guy, Dick Mills, I think was his name. And it was one of these things where he was pointing people out in the audience and making you stand up and then prophesying over you. And he pointed to me, I had to stand up, and he, one of the things he said was this passage in Habakkuk. I felt it was not just for me, but for us as a church. And I feel that now is the season for this verse. Although the thing about prophecy is there's a time for prophecy is given, then there may be a waiting period before the time that prophecy kind of works out. Often with prophecy, there's this kind of telescoping of time where prophecy doesn't speak necessarily for now. It can speak for some time in the future. And so Habakkuk chapter 2, we're in the first few verses there. If you haven't got a Bible, here it is on the screen. Habakkuk chapter 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself at the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Now Habakkuk had been complaining to God. Habakkuk had been pouring out. He'd been saying, why are these things happening? Looking at the bad things, looking at injustice, all kind of big questions happening around him. Often around us, big questions come about our lives, about what's happened in the state of the world. I heard the Archbishop of Canterbury questioning his own faith as a result of what's happened in Russia with those kids recently. He was on Radio 4 Tour talking about it, how he'd been a challenge to his own faith. Often there are big issues happening around us, maybe far off, maybe near, maybe very personal issues, but big issues. Those things were happening to Habakkuk. He was having questions, but he directed those, or he almost like complained, if that's the right appropriate word to use, to God. He almost kind of took his big issues, his complaints to God, and he gave all these big things to God. And this was what Habakkuk said as he stood there waiting. Back to verse 1. I will stand at my watch, station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation or the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the vision or revelation awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So it's talking there about God giving a response, giving vision, giving revelation, giving some kind of answer, giving something that's a vision, a revelation, something that can give us some answers about big things around us. What a wonderful thing it is to read God's word in Habakkuk's heart. Habakkuk realized he wasn't going to process and work out the big... He wasn't going to sit there, meditate, think about and work out the answers to big issues. He didn't have the kind of brain power to kind of process these things and work it out. It was the answer was heavenwards. The answer was going to come by revelation. The answer was going to come by a vision from God. God was going to give him vision. And he realized he needed a heavenly perspective. If he was going to work out what the answer was, he needed a heavenly perspective. So what did he do? He poured out his heart. He told God what the situation, he saw the questions, he saw the issues, he saw the things around him. He saw these things around him. He poured out his heart to God. And then he said this, I will stand at my watch, station myself at the ramparts, and I will look to see what he will say to me. In other words, he was waiting, listening. What a wise man Habakkuk was. This prophet, this guy, he was someone that realized that the answer to issues, answer to questions, answer to problems, answer to the storm that Nick was talking about earlier, the answer really is heavenward, comes from heaven. And so wisely, once he got it off his chest, poured out his heart to God, wisely he kept his mouth shut and he waited. He waited and he listened. He knew the source of revelation. He knew the source of what the steps were ahead. He knew where the thing for the future was going to come. The thing for the future was going to come from heaven as he waited, as he listened. He listened to see what God would say. He waited. I will stand. I will look to see what he will say to me. Do you know that... I feel there's a stirring in my heart for us to listen afresh what God would say to me, what God would say to us. There's always a season now's a season, but there's always a season to be listening. There's a season to pour out our heart to God, then stop and wait and listen. It's easy to moan and complain and keep on moaning and complaining. It's good, as Habakkuk did, to be honest with God about how he felt. But then there was a quiet. We don't know how long that quiet was. We don't know how long he waited. We don't know how long he stationed himself on the ramparts. This sense of watching, waiting. God, what are you going to say? God, what's the answer? God, what are you going to say to me? But he was wise enough to realize the answer was going to come from heaven. So he just waited, watched, and listened. You know, that the beginning of this new term, it's a time to wait and watch and listen. I want to ask that over these coming days, months, this season we're in now, that we as individuals spend time listening, spend time waiting. God, what is it you're saying? We've got opportunities on our own, on our own times with God to listen and to wait for him. Just to put that time aside, where instead of doing other things, we say, God, it needn't be a long time. It could be 10 minutes, could be 30 minutes, could be longer if we got it. But just where we still our hearts, and we say, God, here I am. These are the issues, and now I am. I'm listening. I'm listening to you. God needs that space. I don't know why God just doesn't shout through the storm, but as we see in the Old Testament, God seems to speak in a whisper. And it's as though God just needs that space for us just to draw aside, quiet, and then listen. We've got opportunities on Monday evenings, alternate Monday evenings over this term, where we're going to be meeting at the Beacon, where there's no agenda, no meeting. We're just meeting to be quiet and listen. And just see, God, what are you saying? What are you going to speak about? What is it on your heart for us? And it's hard, to be honest, if we're kind of active people, just to still our hearts can be hard. But it's wonderful just to be able to still and listen. Say, God, what is it you're saying? In the prayer meetings on Sunday mornings, every Sunday here, 9:45, we meet in the hall opposite, behind here, to listen, to wait. See, God, what are you saying? God, what are the things on your heart for the meeting, for the things you want to do and say? And it's wonderful to be able to have the time to do that. You know that one of the most important things God, in my opinion, God ever said to me, it was many years ago, one evening when I was babysitting. This was years ago. I was babysitting, and I was babysitting in this household, and I kind of arrived to babysit, and the person had gone out, and I was babysitting the child, and I sat there, and I'd made myself a cup of tea, and I'd been asking. It was a time where I was seeking God, asking for some questions, asking God about some things in my life. About I needed some answers for, like about Habakkuk here, pouring it out to God, but then listening, waiting. God, what are you going to say? God, what do you want to say to me? And so I made myself a cup of tea, sat down. As I sat down on the sofa, I'm quite well brought up, and so I looked for a coaster to put my mug on. So I thought, is there a coaster around here? And I found a coaster, put it down on the sofa, and put my mug. As I was about to put my mug down on the coaster, my eyes flashed on the coaster, and it was a Bible verse on that coaster. As I just glanced down at that coaster, that Bible verse absolutely shot through me like an arrow. It was, I didn't even know that verse was in the Bible. I never read it before in the Bible. And as I read that verse, it like kind of shot me right in the heart. God spoke so powerfully, so clearly, so precisely. And I just knew that verse has been the theme for my life for many, many, many years. And it's because I asked and I waited. And the answer came unexpectedly through a coaster. But that's the thing. Hey, God's creative. God speaks through loads of different ways. But the important thing is to make time. I put time aside that evening to seek God, to listen to God. And that was so, so important. I have lived on that verse for years and years and years and years. I continue to live on that verse. It is so key for me. So important. And so hearing God is so essential. Without hearing God, we haven't got the vision. We haven't got the revelation. We haven't got what Habakkuk got, which was the revelation from God, the vision from God, the clarity, the direction, the purpose. Otherwise, we're just kind of at a drift, kind of just whatever and however, and whatever we feel and think. Whatever we feel and think varies according to the day. Oh, it's a nice day, I feel good. Oh, it's a miserable day, I feel miserable. Or whatever. But once we got God's words in our heart, then we know. Look what it says here in verse 2. Then the Lord replied. God spoke. He was waiting and God spoke. I believe God wants to speak far, far more than ever we think. Far, far more than ever I believe that God wants to speak. God wants to speak so much to us, his people. The heart of God is to communicate. God is a God of intimacy, of communication. God wants to speak to you. God's got things he wants to say about your life, about now, about the future, about things around you. God has things to say. Even today, God has fresh things. That's why one of the things, we as a prophetic church, we expect and believe God is speaking freshly all the time. There's fresh things that God has for you. God replied. The Lord replied. Wow. I was one of these Monday evenings a couple of seasons ago. I was waiting in the Beacon to meet on these Monday evenings to wait on God. We were silent. We were silent maybe for, it was about 30 minutes, quite a long time of being quiet. And I was just waiting on the Lord, listening. And suddenly God spoke to me, and God spoke about something I wasn't expecting him or even wanted him to speak about. Sometimes that's the case. And God spoke to me about something and told me to do something that was very risky. I wouldn't have done it if I'd have kind of not heard clearly. I'd have thought, no, God, you can't possibly want me to do that. And kind of dismissed it. But because I was focused and listening, I said, okay, God, I know it's definitely you. I'll do it. And I put into practice, I did the exact thing God asked me to do. It was a risky thing, but looking back in hindsight, it was the right thing to do, and God blessed me as a result of doing it. But if I hadn't listened, I wouldn't have heard. And it just really reminds me of that God has so much to say. God, so many things God wants for us to do. You know that that Habakkuk was this guy here who's waiting for God to reply. And when God did reply, look what he said. God says to Habakkuk, write down the revelation or the vision. Most versions of the Bible say vision there. The NIV says revelation, but most versions say vision. Write down the vision, the revelation. Make it plain. They wrote on these kind of clay tablets. Write it plain so that a herald may run with it. In other words, he was saying, look, it's important that you kind of grasp. God wants us to grasp the vision, not to treat it superficially, but to really kind of grasp it. The vision God has for us is important. There's a danger of living our lives. There's a grave danger of you and I living our lives without vision, without revelation, of drifting along, of my life kind of drifting from one thing and then to another thing, and my life just drifting. When God has a very specific path, God has a path for my life that's very, very clear, very specific. And God's got a path for me to walk, you to walk. God's got a path for you to walk. And God wants you to get it, to be clear about it, so that you know what to do. So you know what it is. Do you know that Habakkuk saw all these things happening around him, and he wasn't sure. He said, what about this bad situation, and that bad situation, and this? All these things were happening, and he had questions. And when he came to God, it's almost as though in God's presence brought clarity and brought this revelation. David, the King David, he had the same experience in Psalm 73. David tried to understand why wicked people seemed to prosper. David understand why God's purposes didn't seem to work out. David was trying to work it out, and he couldn't work it out. David said, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. It just got me, my head all kind of heavy. But then I entered your sanctuary, God, and I understood. There was then he went into God's presence. He experienced God's presence. And in God's presence, it all became clear. And in God's presence, if you're confused at your life, if you're confused about any area of your life this morning, in God's presence, there's clarity. There isn't confusion. God may only show you the next step. He may not necessarily show you 10 steps down the road, but God will show you the next step. God isn't a God of confusion. God's a God of order and God of peace. And God is a God who wants to lead my life on. If there's any confusion in my life, it's not of God. Because God brings clarity. God brings revelation. God brings vision. God brings the next step. The next step may not be exactly what you're expecting. Maybe sometimes you think, oh God, is this really what you have for me? But God will bring with clarity that next step for us. And David wanted it, and Habakkuk wanted it. Now, back to that, what Habakkuk was saying there. And it says, at the end it says, write down the vision, make it plain on tablets. Write down in vision, make it plain. What God shows us, he wants us to be clear about and take notice of. This was years ago, I was asking God about my life. It was just kind of one of these times of change. We all go through times, seasons in our life where everything seems to change. And this, for me, years ago, was a season of change. And so I got a piece of paper, and really on this kind of basis, I kind of prayerfully and with prayer, I kind of went before God. And I wrote about the major areas of my life at that time. And I wrote on a piece of paper, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And I said, right, God, I'm really asking that you give me some clarity, vision, revelation. God, what is it for my purpose, for the things that lie ahead? And I prayed, I was asking about my own personal walk with Jesus. God, how is that developing? My own love relationship with you, God. Where do I see that going? God, what's the vision for that developing? Our relationship with Jesus is about an ongoing intimacy. And so there's got to be a direction, something moving in it. And then I said about my own, the serving for you in the church. What about in the body of Christ? What's the vision in that area you want me to do? My relationships, my family, God, what have you got there? My work life, what about that? where am I going to live? At that time, I was renting, moving regularly from place to place, all over London. And so these things were very specific. And I remember sitting down with this piece of paper, praying and asking God to give me revelation, something on my heart. And as I prayed and kind of just thought these things, I wrote down what I felt, just as I was praying, I wrote down what I felt for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, this kind of thing of what I was asking God, what I felt on my heart to pray for. As a kind of, it wasn't a wish list. It was a sense of God, under you, under your lordship, this is what I think you have for me. Direction, vision, purpose for my life. Now, as the years rolled by, as you can imagine, I moved from Golders Green I first started out in Greenford in Middlesex. Greenford, Golders Green, Balham, Wimbledon, White City. Well, actually, we don't call it White City. We call it North Kensington. It sounded much better. But all over the place, I moved around all over the place. And over those moves, of course, I lost that bit of paper. I lost it. Anyway, more than 10 years after that, I'd written that original thing. One day, God suddenly brought it to my mind. I suddenly thought, oh, wow, I made a list. And on that list, I put 2, 5, and 10. And I remember, because it was kind of a serious moment, I remember what I'd put in the 2-year category, the 5-year category, and the 10-year category. And you know the most remarkable thing is that down to the exact details that I can remember, everything of those things have been fulfilled within 2 years, the things within 5 years, and the things within 10 years. And I was amazed. I thought, God, this is remarkable. This is remarkable. That God, you have a purpose for me. There is a vision for my life. There's something of significance that you have for me. And that by getting it from you, by making it plain, I didn't write it on a bit of clay, I wrote a bit of paper, and getting it down before God, even though I lost it, but nevertheless it was on my heart. It was all those things were on my heart. Because interesting, which is what he says here, so that the herald may run with it. In other words, it's something to go for. It's something to have, to give my life a kind of a direction, something to kind of aim at, something to kind of know, should I make this decision or that decision? Well, I know that God's given me this revelation, so therefore that helps me make the decision, because I know, rather than it, my life kind of drifting from vague decision to vague decision, there becomes a sense of purpose, a sense of calling, a sense of destiny really for our lives, that God's got something for us. Now, my family, when I grew up, my family were not into pets in a big way. In fact, not at all into pets. As a concession to pets, my mother allowed us to have a stick insect once. and then we graduated to a hamster. And it was a beautiful champagne-coloured little hamster. What do you call a hamster but Hammy? Yeah, Hammy. What else do you call a hamster? So we had this beautiful hamster called Hammy. And poor thing lived 2 years and then died. But I think that's about the life expectancy of a hamster, about 2 years. Anyway, so what we do, we have to buy another one. We've got another champagne hamster. What do you call it? But Hammy too. That's what else do you call it? But this thing, I mean, we got the hamster out occasionally, but he seemed very happy in his life in the cage. What he used to do all night, though, was running this little wheel on and on and on, this little squeaky metal wheel going round and round and round and round. And you know that our lives, we can put a lot of effort into our lives, but sometimes we can be running around like that hamster, completely fruitless, our lives going round again and again and again, feeling like we're just in a wheel going again and again round. At the end of that hamster's life, he seemed quite happy and quite content, but he'd done many miles on that wheel, but he'd got nowhere. And you know, in our lives, that God has for us, not a wheel to go round, but a direction to move. There's a direction to God's got progress for each of us. You know, our lives are about moving somewhere, spiritually, emotionally. We're moving in a direction. Together as a church, we're moving. We're not maintaining some status quo. We're not going around in a wheel. We're in fact moving in a direction. God's got purpose for us. And for us together here as a church, I think God's got vision, revelation, purpose. God's got things for us together here to do. There's a specific reason and task for us being part of New Life. I'm not here by accident. You're not here, but we're here because God's got a purpose for something for us to do. But today we're focused on us as individuals and this vision and purpose for us. There's this lovely verse in in Ephesians, which if you don't know it, it's a brilliant verse to kind of have in your heart. Talks in Ephesians 2, Paul talking to the church in Ephesus there. He said, we're created to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, it's not about me just doing whatever. Oh, I think I'll do this. Wouldn't it be interesting to go and do this? This looks good. I'll go and do this. But God has prepared in advance. There's things that are fulfilling, that are just right, that are just shaped for you to fulfill you and to enable you to be fruitful and effective and to enjoy it. There's a calling that's just for you. God prepares in advance, in advance. That's why it's important that we get in this revelation, we get in this vision from heaven, because we need to know, God, what have you? You've made me a certain way. I'm a certain kind of person. I'm a certain character mix. I'm a certain personality type. God, you know, you made me. Therefore, you've made a future that's perfectly mapped out to fulfill me, to grow me, to extend me, that I will be a person who will be fruitful for you. That is just such a relief to know. We're not drifting in the sea of life. But there's someone who's mapped a purpose, and it's particular for us, and it's there. I came to London for 6 months to earn some money, but that was in 1982. In 1982, I came here. My purpose was to come and earn money here in London. I came, I earned the money. I was looking to before I was going to go off and do something. But in the last 22 years, God changed. God started to show me His vision, His purpose, rather than my own kind of bright ideas. My own bright ideas kind of didn't work out, surprise, surprise. And God has graciously shown me there's a purpose and there's a path for me to do here. Now, the verse we're looking at in Habakkuk continues in back to Habakkuk now, and verse 3. It says, for the revelation or the vision awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. I want you to say this morning, don't be discouraged if the things that God lays on your heart don't come about immediately. There's something in the nature of vision and revelation from God which involves a waiting. God warned Habakkuk, that's how it is. Okay, with things that God shows you, there is God speaking, God showing, and then there's a time of waiting. Listen to this. It waits for an appointed time. In other words, there's a timing. Do you see what Habakkuk's real, or what God's saying to the prophet Habakkuk here? That the seasons in your life, there's some things that God will speak. When I wrote that list down for things for 10 years ahead, I was trying to get from God. God, what am I aiming for? What direction for things for the future? And God had took me through a whole load of things before those things came about. Do you see that? I really feel this morning to impress the gravity of this verse. In that often we get discouraged. We think God's spoken to us, but then we think, oh, it can't be God because it's not happened. I had this prophecy from someone, but it's not happened. God spoke to me through the Bible 2 weeks ago, but it's not happened. And the thing is that when God gives us revelation, there's always a season, nearly always in my experience. I don't know why. In fact, I think I do know why, actually. But there's this sense of wait before the fulfillment of what God's got for us. Don't be discouraged, because there's an appointed time. Has God put something on your heart? Has God laid something on your heart? Some vision, some sense, something for your life, some aspect of your life, for your walk with Him, for your serving God in the body of Christ, for your work life, for your family, for marriage, for children, for getting married, if you want to get married. What's the thing that God's kind of put on your heart? And yet it seems as though, wow, it just seems as though it's not come about. And I think there's keys in this verse to help us. You see, the first thing, going back to the verse before, he says, get the vision, get the revelation, but write it down. In other words, you don't have to literally write it. Oh, you can write it down. But he's going, get it clear. Be clear. Go before God and get clear what it is. If something's not clear, when the time of testing comes, you'll give up. And I'll say, no, maybe it's not from God after all. Maybe it's not what God's saying. That's why it's got to be clear. If it's not clear in the first place, when something going gets tough, we will give up. I will give up. We've got to make sure we've got it clear so that, it says the verse before, you may run with it. I've got to have something to run with. God, what is it? What's the driver in my life? What's the thing that's going to move me forward? What's the thing that's taking me into the tomorrow? What's the reason to get up tomorrow? What's the reason to look ahead for the future? Without it, to be honest, we can be depressed and just discouraged. We need it. We need it so much. I love watching a candle burn. Maybe it's something that, because I was used to be a chemistry teacher, and I, with Bunsen burners, always burning something. Love burning anything. Just give me something to burn. And I don't know whether that's the case, but anyway, I just love watching candles burn. The thing about candles is you light them and they go down. They're used up and they're finished, and that's the end of them. They've gone into the vapor. They've turned into gas. And I believe each of our life is like a candle. It's lit. When you become a Christian, it's lit. Your spiritual life, you are lit. And then you burn. Every day you burn. Your life is used up. You can't go back and say, God, can I have that last day back again, please? I'd like to go back to it. Tremendous verse in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that I find a challenge and encouragement. It's appointed to man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. See, people who don't love Jesus, that understand and think about reincarnation, that there's some sense that, well, we get another chance, there's always a kind of another thing to kind of go at it. We have one candle. It burns, and after that we have to give account for our lives. Every day my life is burning. So I'm getting older, getting grayer, less hairs, a few more wrinkles. my life is burning, but that's not a thing to be discouraged about, or to, you know, to kind of be desperate about running to the kind of beauty product. Well, I hope that Elizabeth Jay's not here today, she knows. but it's not to be discouraged about, because my life is burning. That's the way life is. My life burns every day. The question is it burning in a direction that is fruitful? Is the things that God's got for me, is it in the vision God has for me? Since I've got no choice whether my life burns or not, the only choice I've got is, am I burning just for whatever, just to kind of do my own thing? Or am I actually burning for a purpose which is God-ordained? And that's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's our responsibility, to ensure our lives are burning for God. Now, I've talked so far about us as individuals, but there's also a togetherness in this thing. One of my lovely, lovely verses in Romans, Paul talks to the Romans. He says, each member of the body of Christ, each one of us, belongs to all the others. So it's not a kind of me on my lonesome, my own little vision, kind of trying to do my own thing. But actually, there's a sense of corporate togetherness in it. Otherwise, it's very lonely and isolatory. My personal future is tied up with you. My personal future, tomorrow, next day, is tied up with you. And yours, if you've chosen to be part of this church, if not, the door's over there, go find somewhere else. You've got to find somewhere else where you look around and think, yes, I want my future to be tied up with those people. Because God's called us, as members of the body of Christ, to belong. Very serious. You see the seriousness of this. There's a sense of corporate destiny. There's a sense of being together in this. It's not just me, and we're not just 100 marbles rattling around in a hall. We're not just kind of doing our own thing. We've not got each one of us here got 100 different visions, all going to kind of go off in 100 different directions. No, there is, thankfully, a togetherness, and there's a safety in togetherness in what we're doing, which is wonderful and great. And we're going to look at that next week. Next week, we're going to look at our togetherness. Next week's togetherness, today, is our individual responsibilities. I want to refresh us today in our personal vision. You know, one of the things that I felt to pray in my own prayer times, again and again and again, over the last few years really, is I regularly pray. I say, God, please give me vision for my life. Give me vision for the things you've called me to do in the body of Christ. Give me vision for my wife, my marriage. Give me vision for my family, for my children. Give me vision for the cell groups here at New Life, because that's my responsibility. Give us vision for the church here at New Life. Give me vision for North London. And that's where my personally, That's my vision extends that far. Some people's vision extends further. That's my personal vision. And so I'm asking God, say, God, give me vision in each of those areas. Because God, I want clarity. I want to be someone that clearly knows in each of those things what's the next step, so I can do it and I can then move on to the next step. I don't just want to kind of be here at point one. I want to move forward. I want to move forward in the things you've got for me. And I believe this morning God wants to help us move forward. I've been playing Snakes and Ladders with my children recently. You know, where you kind of count the numbers on. You hit a ladder and you go up some squares, hit a snake and you kind of slide down to the bottom again. You start again. I feel that some of us this morning here feel like we've hit a snake and kind of slid right back in our vision and what God's called us to do. There's a sense of kind of it's not, there's no fault, there's no kind of criticism, but there's a sense just of those, I mean, the, often in the Bible, the devil is represented by a snake, a serpent, and the devil can just trip us up and we can feel as though we're just taking a whole thing back. God wants us today to climb a ladder. You know, not just to move forward, but to climb a ladder onto the thing that he has. If there's something in your heart, your family, your job, your work, something that you had a vision before that was from God, that's kind of, you slipped down a snake. God wants us to climb a ladder, I think, this morning, to get back where we were and to push on. If there's an area of your life where you haven't got vision, say, God, I want vision. This area of my life, I need vision. I need clarity. I need to know what it is so I can run with it. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to be just blown around and uncertain. I want clarity. In my walk with God this morning, in your walk with God, God wants us to have a growing intimacy. What's my vision for a growing intimacy with Jesus? Knowledge of him, love for him in the months that lie ahead. If you're married, what's the vision for your marriage? Any relationships don't run in parallel tracks. Your relationships, any relationship, any friendship of any sort, they're either converging or they're diverging. You don't maintain status quo in relationships. Either you drift apart from someone or you drift more close to them. It's true of any relationship. And our vision for if you're married, for your marriage, if you've got children, vision for your relationship with your children, for your parents, friendships, good friendships, those that you look to for support and encouragement. What direction is our relationships heading? Because I need vision. Without vision, then we will drift. We will drift apart. I've been very challenged. Bringing up children, if you're a parent, is very challenging, very difficult. And Paul to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 6, 4, he says, bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And, you know, I've been finding personally that is hard. It's very wearing, very hard. But to have a vision for my children, I found a great challenge. I found often I'm frustrated in that, but that's humbling to realize it has to be God and not me and my efforts. But again, vision in terms of our families. For the workplace, Kelly, fantastic, gave us a talk about reaching out. Raywin, what a wonderful talk about in terms of being in the workplace, God using to change us. And Onmin's talk about the workplace as a vocation. Three fantastic, if you haven't heard those three tapes, get a copy of those tapes because they're really, I feel, very significant for how we relate to our workplace, whatever that is for you in the season of your life. Just to finish this morning, I wanted just to finish on this last bit of Habakkuk. If I can find the bit of Habakkuk that I need. That's it, got it here. Now, it talks about the vision waiting for an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. This last bit is lovely. Listen to this. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. That's a promise. That's a promise from God about the vision that he gives you. Though it linger, wait for it. For it will certainly come and will not delay. In other words, there's an appointed time when the things God's put in our heart come about. And the encouragement here is, though it linger, though it doesn't seem to happen just now when we want it to, that it will happen, We've got to wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you are the God of revelation. You're the God of vision. You're the God who brings to us the meaning, the direction, and purpose for our lives. I want to say thank you this morning, Lord, that our lives have meaning because you give them meaning. Thank you, Lord, that you give to us a purpose, that you created each one of us for a reason. I want to thank you, Lord, that each one of us sat here today has been made not because of a parent's choice to have a child, but because you have caused us to be born. You've given us life in our mother's womb for a purpose, for a reason. And today I want to celebrate that and say thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, my life has meaning and purpose because you've given it meaning and purpose. And thank you for every single life here in this hall today. Lord, you've given us a reason and a purpose. Some of us may be unclear, Lord, about that purpose, that vision. It may this morning not be clear. And Lord, we want to be those like Habakkuk who listen, who wait and listen. That Lord, when you speak, we can write it down on our hearts, maybe even on a bit of paper, about our friendships, our relationships, about work, about family, about our relationship with you, serving God here in the church. Lord, we want to have clarity. We don't want to be those, Lord, that wander along aimlessly, but those that are heading in a God-ordained direction. I'm asking this morning you come and refresh us. Those of us that have slipped down a ladder, so I slipped down a snake. Lord, we want to climb a ladder today. Those of us that are unclear and fuzzy and all hazy about a vision in an area of our life, Lord, bring a clarity this morning in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we speak against every force, every demon of darkness that will come today and cloud our vision. Come and bring confusion. We bind in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you bring that revelation. Father, bring revelation, clarity, vision. I feel there's a number of people here this morning who've got very specific questions to ask. God, should I do this or should I do this? And you don't know the answer. And I feel today God wants to encourage you and say he is the God who's going to speak the answer into your heart. There's a number of people today, I just feel there's something specific that God wants to show you. You've got a question for God. Like Habakkuk had a question, you've got a question for God. God, is it this or is it this? And God wants to bring a peace and a revelation and understanding in your heart today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand together. Musicians, could you come back, please, to the music? I wonder if you join me by just lifting your hands to heaven. Lift your head up to the King, to Jesus. Let's wait. Lord, ask God. Like Habakkuk asked God, you just say to God, God, there's this and there's this. Even though God knows, he wants us to ask. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful God. Thank you. I feel some of us are feeling, God, I've asked you before and you haven't shown me. And there's a disappointment in our heart. And we don't know how long Habakkuk waited. Doesn't say how long he watched for on the ramparts. He may have been night after night up on the city walls, walking those city walls, waiting for God to speak in the dark. We don't know. Doesn't say how long he waited. But it's humbling to wait. Do you know that? God doesn't jump to our tune. God doesn't dance to the tune that we play. God doesn't answer when we say, right, God, tell me now. God wants us to ask and then to listen and wait. And God will tell us. God will speak to us. As we're waiting here this morning, God may speak right here like a bolt of lightning into your heart. Maybe as we leave this place on the way home, as you read your Bible tomorrow, I don't know. But it's attitude of heart, of humbly saying, God, I want vision. I want revelation from you. I need to know, Lord. I also feel that some of us this morning that have had a feeling that there's fate, something about fate that rules over our life that's not of God. It's something that is not part of God's revelation. Fate has no part to play in it. But something maybe before we were Christian, we felt fate had an important part in our lives. And God wants to break fate or an attitude of fate off our hearts and free you this morning. If you are burdened this morning by a sense of fate having any part to play, it hasn't. God is sovereign. Fate has no part. And God this morning wants to break any sense of fate off your life. Thank you, Lord. And just as we're waiting before the Lord, listening to him, asking the musicians, just quietly would play, worship quietly. And for us, for the moment, let's not join in the singing, but because sometimes that can, it's wonderful to obviously but to love God, but sometimes it's just right to wait and listen, not to be doing anything but just listening. God, here I am, I'm listening. Here we are, Lord, we're listening. We're listening to you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's someone else, there's one or two people here also this morning who they feel like what give God's given them to carry, the vision is very heavy.